last week, I just want to kind of share about this before we get started with our homily, so I'm going to call it. It's going to be a little bit short time in speaking today. But I remember last week, Nate Holtz came up and he kind of shared with us about some issues he had for renewing some of our property and kind of sprucing it up, you might say. And he asked for me to kind of just give a real brief update on how that went in response. And he prepared a little note for me, so I'll just go ahead and read that for him. But he wanted to thank Chris and Jay for stepping up and helping him yesterday's big pour. He said, we're trying to redo some of the pavement around the grounds. He wanted to thank the Grace folks for last night for helping fund this week's effort. 15 buckets of sealer and more than half a ton of pothole patch was able to get purchased. We still need people to help apply bottles of crack filler to the area out there. Parking lot. Thank you. My goodness. Thank you. So we need some help with that. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. If you are willing to do that, talk to me. Is Nate in the room here? No? Okay. Well, then we'll make sure we point it out to you later on. Also, this coming week, we still need, another half ton of pothole patch, and we're sprucing up some Door Street entrances with some blacktop sealers. So there's still sort of, we're hoping to get done and get accomplished. So if you're wanting to help participate with that, with either labor or with funds, because there's not really a budget for this, we're just kind of doing this together, talk to Mabel. If you don't know who Mabel is, I'll let you talk to his wonderful wife, Jean. Hey, there we go. Awesome. Since she's in the room, I'll point her. So I'm going to give you an update on that. Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning once again. It's nice to have the kids with us today. So as you mentioned, we're wrapping up, culminating, celebrating, whatever you want to call this, what we're doing this morning. We're going to culminate our time spent studying this idea of rhythm, this idea of practicing Sabbath. If you're here for the first time, or maybe if you missed some time, over the last several weeks, we've looked at several scripture passages, listened to several teachings that have really guided us through this topic. And I really, honestly, this morning, I just want to take us to a real brief synopsis of those things and highlight them. But of course, this morning, I'd like to begin with a question. And it's something that came to mind to me as I was thinking and praying about this morning and my approach to rhythm and Sabbath. I was wondering, if you've ever approached a person or a situation and you think you have a handle, you think you got a grasp, but then you quickly realize that there's much more going on than you first anticipated. That the stakes were higher than you originally thought. Or perhaps the implications were bigger. Or maybe you've ever gotten into a conversation setting before where you're talking with someone, you think you're talking about one thing, then you realize you're actually talking about a whole other thing altogether. That there's deeper underlying issues going on that you at first didn't realize. And that's, to me, kind of where I come to with the Sabbath, and this topic of Sabbath. And interestingly enough, it reminded me of a story concerning my son, Josiah. And it's one we had on several occasions, this kind of occasion at this age. He's 3 right now. And this story kind of centers around the dinner table. And perhaps if you're a parent, and maybe you have young kids, or at the time of young kids, you can relate to this. And if you're not a parent, don't be scared or terrified. It's okay. Basically the story is my wife, April, had just been in the museum. She'd done a nice job. We sat down on the table. All was well. And we began to eat. My son sometimes, though, has a different agenda. And he decided he wasn't going to eat. This has happened from time to time. See, he had decided that he didn't want this meal. And he decided he wasn't going to eat. Now, after I informed him that, in fact, the opposite was true, the situation quickly escalated. The next thing I know, I'm in an all-out battle of wills. What seemed like a simple matter quickly became a big one. became more, you see, than just about the food at that point. The things at hand were much larger to me. It became an issue of the heart. It became a matter of obedience over rebellion, an issue of authority. It became an issue of who's in charge. It may have appeared to be a very simple matter, but I realized my opinion was more at stake. Now, what does that make you a big deal about this, at the dinner table? Perhaps. But I believe it's often in the little things, and sometimes the bigger things that we do. And I guess that's where, like I said, that's where I come to this idea of rhythm, or practicing Sabbath. You see, to some, even myself at times, it may not seem like a big deal or a real pressing issue, but I think it is. And perhaps it has some bigger implications. But before we go further on that, like I said, I want to take a real brief journey from where we've been in this series. We began, fittingly enough, in Genesis. In fact, it's where our theme verse, the children just quoted us, from Genesis 2:3, where we see God creating and stopping. And it's kind of been our anchor to be bumped in this time. It's in Genesis where we see God himself rest. He worked, created for 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. He set it apart from all the others, all the other days, and he rested. He set the tone. And we discussed at the very outset how honoring and keeping the Sabbath is, in fact, a way in which we worship the Lord. We honor him by practicing the way and rhythm of life that he has first instituted to us. Work for six and rest on the seventh. We then looked at Exodus 16, and we heard the kids talk about the manna, where we read about the Israelites in the desert, and God provided food from heaven for them throughout the week. Each day they gathered what they needed, except on the sixth day they gathered twice as much. And they had to trust God that it would be enough for that seventh day. And it was. But it was a matter of trust. Did they trust God that he would provide enough for them? After that, because we don't want to become like the Pharisees, who in Scripture are a group of people who are extremely rigid and legalistic with their approach to the Sabbath, we studied some of Jesus' words. Amy spoke to us of the book of Matthew and what Jesus had to say about the Sabbath. And we were reminded that Jesus is in fact Lord of the Sabbath. And he is greater than. He is greater. We were reminded that it is by our heart and our motivation when we approach Sabbath. It is not designed to be a list of rules and regulations that have no life in them, but designed to draw us closer to our Lord Jesus. And our Lord is one of love and mercy. Furthermore, we study that Jesus is, in fact, our eternal Sabbath rest. Jesus in Matthew 11 calls us to come to him. Come to him if you are weary. Come to him if you are heavy burdened. Come to him if you need help. Come to him to find rest. Come to him to find rest for your souls. We are called to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. It is only in him. It is only in him where we have an eternal Sabbath. An eternal rest. Then finally, last week we spent some time discussing the implications. You know, what does this all mean? We looked at all these different passages. So what does that mean for us right here, right now? What does this look like? Well, first the first implication that we talked about, there's three of them that we looked at specifically. The first one we looked at is this idea of Sabbath also implies that we work. That we work. Like God worked for 6 days and rested, so should we work before we rest. We're called to be a people that are productive in that work. The second thing, simply enough, as we're called, you are encouraged to keep the Sabbath, to keep and honor the Sabbath. And then we will practice it together on Sundays. We are encouraged to make this day holy, to make it different, to make it distinct, set apart, otherly. To make Sunday morning, as we gather like this, together, and celebrate God's goodness and His provision, to make that our launching pad for our individual family or individual Sabbath rest, that we would do this together on Sundays. Now, of course, there are some, like my wife, for example, that have to work on Sundays. I'm sure there's others as well. And it's going to take a little bit more creativity to maybe press into that during the week and what that looks like. But for those of us that can, we're encouraging us to press in and to practice this together on Sundays. And lastly, we're encouraged to keep the day of the Sabbath. To every day have a time, or however long, where you are connecting with Jesus, whether through prayer or reading scripture, I guess ideally both, where you're pressing into your relationship with Him. To every day have a time that is holy, a time that is set apart, a time that is different from the rest of the day, a daily Sabbath, a daily rhythm. Now, there may be some other implications for you as we've gone through this, and we would love to hear about that. We're going to have, as we've gone through doing some more, lots of time of sharing. I would encourage you that if there's something that God has been working on you during this time, something that He led you to, I encourage you to come and share about that. We'd love to encourage one another with that. But those are the three that we were being called to press into together. And I guess, guys, really that's where I just want to focus on and really end with this morning. It's the press in. The press in. And let's press into this together. As we've been studying this principle of rhythm and Sabbath, and we really dug into this last week, but I think that we've realized, my prayer is that we've realized that this idea of keeping and honoring the Sabbath is truly what's best for us. It was designed for our benefit. From the beginning, God has set in motion this order of working and stopping, being productive and then resting. And as you discover, it's more to than just simply stopping and resting. I mean, that's definitely part of it, but it's also where we engage and we seek God. We remember and celebrate His goodness and provision. We once again remember the rest that we have for our souls in Jesus Christ. This, I believe, is all part of it. And to have a regular practice, a regular rhythm of this institute in our life is what's best for us. It's what's best for us. And we need to recognize as well that it's going to look different for many of us. Some things may be similar, but some different. And it's where our heart is and our approach that's most important. But we have to press in. We have to press in. You see, it's going to take some intentionality. It's going to take some planning. It's going to take some forethought. And as ironic as it might sound, it's going to take some effort to get into a Sabbath routine. So again, question. Because like I asked earlier, is it possible that there are bigger matters of the heart at play here? Is it possible that God is after some bigger picture things in all of this? For example, are we willing to stop and surrender? To surrender our time and our agenda and take on the rhythm and order that He has put in place for us? Do we trust Him? Do we trust that He knows what is best for us? Do we have faith that he will provide? Faith that he will provide the time needed to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. And see, these are just some of the issues that I believe that God wants to speak into each one of us through keeping the Sabbath. As we discussed this past Wednesday, for those of you that were able to be here at our monthly Building Life Together meeting this past Wednesday, we talked and had a conversation about this idea of Sabbath. And it came up, and I think it's pretty interesting that practicing Sabbath is very similar to time. In the sense that it is a practice that reminds us who the true provider is and where our trust lies. You see, tithing is more than just about the money. You see. It's really about more than that. It's a practice that has been put in place by God that when we approach correctly, it helps us keep us in line. I believe Sabbath is the same. When practiced and approached correctly, it helps keep us in line with Him. So one more time. I guess I'll keep saying it again. Let's press in. Now, like I said, this may look different for many of us, and it may seem overwhelming. This is very different than I think what we're used to. I think what our culture drives at us, that go, go, go. So this idea of stopping and resting and Sabbath keeping can be different. And when thinking about pressing in, what does that look like? It can be overwhelming. But I don't want you to be discouraged. Perhaps, you need to start small. Perhaps you begin with just simply having a conversation with your spouse or with your family, or perhaps just internally. What does this look like for me or for us? How is God calling me to lean into this? What does it look like? What is God saying about it? And then make some practical steps that you can realistically follow through on. For example, my wife and April, we've begun discussing practicing Sabbath right now, probably just every other Sunday. Just simply the fact that she works the other Sundays, we've got to figure out what that looks like. But we've begun just starting out another week, and we've had a conversation about what does that mean? What are the things that we'll do on that day? What are the things that we won't do on that day? And because we believe that God is calling us to press in. The church, I know, has decided that we're not going to have any staff meetings on Sundays. This often was the day we would do budget meetings and things like that, because it was meetings instead of one was here. But we're going away from that through the Sabbath study as a way to press in. Some small, tangible steps in that direction. Some small, practical things that you're being called to, that you're talking about, that you're discussing in that direction. So again, I want to encourage us to consider how you and your household are playing and pressing in these things. Let's not just let this page turn and we move on. And then we go, what would we do? Oh yeah, we talked about Sabbath about a year ago. That happens, and I get that. But I want to encourage us to let this be a transforming time for us, where we really engage and participate. I know Ralph and Sandy are going to come, Ralph and Sandy Felton are going to share with us a little bit later in the service talk, how to overcome obstacles and maybe challenges that present itself in trying to keep Sabbath. So that's going to be helpful as well. But again, pressing. And I guess with all this idea of Sabbath, and I'm saying one more thing, this idea of pressing with Sabbath, I'm really realizing that it's really calling us to press into Jesus. It's really calling us to press into Jesus. And I really found that when I went through, when Jesus tells us to come to Him, that He is our eternal Sabbath. And it's where we find rest for our souls. It's a simple practice to push us that way, you see. And so wherever we are this morning, especially if you've not yet put your faith in Him, I want to encourage you to press into Jesus. All of this, I believe, is designed to draw us closer to Him. to remind us of our rest ultimately in Him. To remember that God has provided Him to us. From heaven, He came for us. Just like we read in Exodus 16. He is our provision. He is more than enough for us. He is the Lord. And He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And it is in Him that we find our true rest, our eternal rest. It's in Him that we find forgiveness and freedom. We find life and joy, healing and redemption. It's in Him, Him alone, that we find rest for our souls. So this morning, I guess you take away anything. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let's press into this now. Okay? Let me just pray for us. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in You. And we rest in You. And we recognize that You have provided so much to us in Jesus. All the spiritual blessings You provide to us through Him.